It's time for the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Berenger and Bruce Zeman.
Shoots! He scores!
And now, with a trip around the National Hockey League, here's Jim and Bruce.
And welcome to the Full Press Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey, rocking and rolling with my legendary tag team partner, Fox Media NHL analyst Bruce Zeman. Bruce, welcome back, buddy.
Jim, great to be with you as we do the show today from the beaches of Delaware.
That's it, baby. No longer in Vermont. He's in the beaches of Delaware. But as you see, I'm wearing, for those watching on Spitballing Sports, on Twitter and on YouTube, I have a Maple Leaf shirt on that I won. And I think that's where we got to start. Before we get into the hot topic before Game 5 of Bruins and Panthers and what happened in Game 4, I think we need to start because as much as people think the hockey world revolves around Montreal, and I love that city and I love going there, it doesn't. It revolves around Toronto. Everything goes around Toronto. Toronto loses again in the playoffs. They fired a head coach. And for the first time in, I guess, since the core four has been together, they're finally going to make changes because Keith Pelley, the Maple Leafs sports and entertainment president and CEO, came out and said, "We're not here to sell jerseys. We are here to win and nothing else matters." Basically, he just went full on Al Davis and said, "Just win, baby."
Yeah, he absolutely did. And you know, there's going to be changes in the organization. And the first one started with Sheldon Keefe, who's now rumored to be the head coaching candidate for at least three teams, and one of which we'll get to a little bit later, the New Jersey Devils. But some big changes coming in Toronto.
Yeah, big time changes. And I think, you know, you're going to look at the assistants and see, you know, who else from the staff's probably going to be let go. But, you know, Brendan Shanahan was there. Brad Treliving was there. But it looks like, you know, Brad Treliving and the Leafs, they identified it. Okay, goaltending. We need defensemen. And, you know, I think this should have been done 3 years ago when they lost to Montreal in the playoffs. They didn't do it. They've been riding this thing now. I know it would have been easier to do it last year. They probably wanted to do it. And I think that's where Kyle Dubas, the former Maple Leafs general manager, current Penguins GM and president, I think he came to the realization that he was going to have to move somebody. They didn't do it, and now it's a little bit tougher. But nothing is impossible when it comes to these no-movement clauses, right, Bruce?
Well, it's true. And again, it depends what the team wants to do and where they want to send the person. And, I mean, there's a lot of ways to make stuff happen, especially if you make a player feel like he's not wanted there anymore. That desire to move or to not move can change pretty quick.
Right, exactly. And look, I know Auston Matthews and Nick Nylander and all those guys like Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner loves playing in the city. You know, he would like to stay there, be a Leaf for his life. But the problem is the formula isn't working anymore. I hate to keep picking on John Tavares, the captain. He's the captain of Team Canada now over the world. That contract should have never been signed. I said it then. I'll say it now. That $11 million could have gotten you a goaltender, could have gotten you a defenseman. Something, because this team just doesn't have depth scoring. They're relying on four guys. You can't win in a playoffs with four guys. It's the same old song and dance when it comes to Toronto Maple Leafs. And I know Tavares is your captain, but I've heard a lot where I think they might strip him of the C because it's 34's team, and 34 and 88 now have new contracts kicking in July 1st. And look, Marner and Tavares have earned the right for those new movement clauses, but don't tell me it can't be done when Julian Brisebois went to Ryan McDonagh 3 days after Tampa went to their third straight Stanley Cup final and said, "Hey, Ryan, we love to keep you, but we can't. It's a money thing. We have to move you. Where would you want to go?" Like, that's a conversation that can happen. And Tavares could get you something. Marner will definitely get you something. It won't be easy, but we've seen it. Tell me where you want to go. We'll try to get it done. Now, the GM's never going to win the trade, but maybe you can pull off something that Kevin Cheveldayoff did where you get 3-4 pieces that can help your team.
Absolutely. And getting back to, you know, stripping the C from Tavares, what I hope they would do is they would go to him and say, "Hey, listen, this is what we'd like to do." And the way they could spin that is to say, John Tavares has decided that he wants to give the C to Austin Matthews, and that would make it a little less palatable, because the one thing you want to do, I mean, for all the knocks on him, he's been a pretty loyal soldier at the time that he's been in Toronto. You don't want to embarrass the guy. You don't want to make him look bad. So maybe if you go to him and say, "Hey, listen, this is what the organization wants to do. We'd like you to do this." I mean, still give him an A. But it is Matthews' team, and that's not the only organization that may have to have that discussion about a change of leadership too, by the way.
No, I agree with that. And I'm just saying, look, again, I knocked the contract, I knocked the player. But again, and everybody wants to talk about scapegoats, we always point to Mitch Marner. But his playoff statistics have not been great. He didn't perform in seven games. He had 3 points. He's getting paid $10.9 million. He got 3 points. Like, that's not good enough from your top players. When your top, like, you look at Boston, what they did, Pastrnak. And they may lose in five games to Florida, and I think the Leafs probably would have too, because of the depth that Florida has. But you look at the Leafs, and you look at Boston, right? Pastrnak gets called out by his head coach. He steps up, right? The Leafs coach guys are just not getting called out, and when they do, they got to walk it back. Like, it is a little bit of a soft mentality up there in Toronto. And I'm not trying to say that these guys can't win, but the formula isn't working anymore. And the formula needs to change, and it probably needed to change 3, 4 years ago, because you just can't win with five guys eating up 65% of your salary cap.
Not only that, but also, if you recall, when the Tavares thing was going on, they were really kind of in a pickle, because Toronto was a place you wanted to go.
Right.
And so that really does not help you negotiating leverage when the player wants to go to one place and he's not going to be happy anywhere else. And again, if you look at the way things happen over the course of his career in Toronto, Toronto has a couple, if Toronto has a couple of deep playoff runs, a trip to the conference finals or something like that, maybe you're not having this conversation. But when they break this up, this is really the only other step they can take before you have to have a total rebuild.
Right.
I think if this doesn't work, I think Brendan Shanahan is out as the president of the Maple Leafs.
Well, he's got 1 year left on his contract. I mean, they may not renew it. They may just let him go. I mean, the Shanahan plan hasn't been working, doesn't work. And you look at it, right? And you say to yourself, okay, one playoff series win since these guys have been together. You're up 3-1 against Montreal. You fold. You had chances to win. You didn't do it. That was probably the year for this group to go far, and they didn't do it. And again, you look at they remove the coach, they remove Sheldon Keefe, and they say to, and you say to yourself, okay, well, now that that's happened, you say, okay, Sheldon Keefe, what happened between games 3 and 4, 5, 6, and 7? Because if the effort in games 5 through 7 were there in games 1 through 4, maybe we're also not having this discussion. Now, he could have still lost the job after round two, say the Maple Leafs advance. But again, the effort's not there. Where was the defense? Where was the chances, the desperation? They played with a desperation that they didn't have in the first four games. And again, you look at it and you say, that's probably why reason the head coach is getting changed. They need a different voice. They need a guy that's going to be accountable. And that's why they're looking at guys like Craig Berube and Todd McClellan, who are also up for the New Jersey job.
Well, the other thing that you've got to ask yourself is, what kind of, to use an animal expression, what kind of leash is that coach in Toronto going to have? Everybody has said that Toronto was like the plum job and everything. But again, for the folks that listen to this podcast and watch it every week, you need to remember that this is a business. It is a results-driven business. Now, you and I had talked privately prior to the last game between Boston and Toronto, and I had said to you that I wasn't sure that Sheldon Keefe would get fired if the Maple Leafs lost, after putting up some fight, at least to make it a series. And you have to give Keefe that. He made them, he made them do it in the two games. But again, even on the series clinching goal, you got a bunch of Maple Leafs standing there like pylons watching it going on. There were four of them.
Four guys, and one was Marner, Lyubushkin, Riley, and Nylander. Four guys were watching that play happen. It's the same old song and dance with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They can get to a point and then they go back to their old habits.
But what are you gonna? You could bring in the greatest coach ever that ever lived, and Are you going to give him 2 years, 3 years? Because I personally, and again, I'm not an expert on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like you, I analyze things when I see them. I think you're talking a 3 or 4 year plan for them to kind of get back to where they need to be, because they've got the core four that they've got to decide who goes, who stays. One of the rumors that I heard this afternoon, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, was now Samsonov is now also rumored to be on the Devils' radar. So are they going to need another goalie, or is Joseph
Well,
Blueger?
Samsonov's not coming back. That's already been a given. Now, New Jersey, we can get to that later, because I still don't think that's a good idea. We already tried one Washington goalie. The Devils should not try another Washington goalie. I'm sorry. But Samsonov's not coming back. They need to get, like New Jersey, they need to get a guy to go with Joseph Woll, who can shoulder the load and be their number one guy, because they need it. Because it's every year in the playoffs for the Maple Leafs that the goaltending lets them down. I'm not saying it's the reason they lose, but as we see with Edmonton, goaltending is a problem, because Boston's getting saves even though they're down in the series. Swayman's playing his butt off, and as we like to say, we like to analyze things, and we'll get to this in a minute. But to wrap this whole thing up, I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs, there's got to be some changes. There's got to be some hard looks, because they can't go to Marner and say, "Look, we can't give you 11 plus million dollar contract, not for the results that we're getting in the playoffs. I don't care what you do in a regular season, you're not performing in the playoffs." And if there's not a trade out there, okay, you know what the most valuable asset is come next summer? It's cap space. He's not walking for nothing. He's walking for cap space that the Maple Leafs can use to improve their team.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some serious internal discussions that they've got to have as to which route they're going. Because the one thing I think folks need to realize, at least in my opinion anyway, this situation in Toronto is not a quick fix. It's
No.
like you're one or two players away from being a Stanley Cup favorite. I thought they were going to make the playoffs this year. I think any team that's got, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner and Nylander, I think is going to make the playoffs. But again, you wonder where the effort was. And let's say you do bring in a Craig Berube there, or a Mike Sullivan, on their wish list or something like that. If they don't have success in 2 years, or they talk about firing him, then you can't do that. You've got to get to a point where you say, okay, we're starting our plan, whether it's a rebuild or just a reshuffling of things. We're starting it now.
Right.
And we know that there is a certain, time limit or time frame that this is going to take place. Just to look back at New Jersey for a second, there's a lot of people, a ton of people that think that the previous season was a fluke. And it very very well may be. But here's the thing, just and we'll get back to Toronto in a second. Like, if you look at, let's stay with the Maple Leafs. They bring in Craig Berube and they have another subpar year next year. You can't fire the coach again.
No, you got to look at roster construction. It's like that along. That's in every sport. The coach is the easiest guy to replace, because you can't fire the players. And now you have to look at how that roster's constructed, and that goes for all the teams in the National Hockey League. And that's something that the Boston Bruins are going to have to look at if and when they get eliminated by the Florida Panthers. Look, Game 5 goes Tuesday night in Sunrise, and look. There was a lot of controversy. You and I had a private discussion off the air. We're going to have it on the air. That was no goal by Sam Bennett.
Clearly no goal. Clearly.
Clearly no
Clearly
goal.
no goal.
Clearly no goal. You and I both have reffed the game. Not only do we do media, we have been both officials. Yes, we didn't do it at the National Hockey League level, but we understand the game, and we've reffed the game, and we understand what goaltender interference is, interference cross-checking is. The league's explanation. Yeah, and Jeff Merrick and some others made a good point. Like, the league wants to use logic when it comes to offsides, when skates are millimeter off the ice or over the line. They're trying to use logic here, saying that that shove did not prevent Swayman from doing his job. So you're assuming that he wasn't making a save regardless. Well, you can't do that, because now what you're saying is, as an offensive player, I can push the opposing defenseman into the opposing goaltender, and the goal's going to stand, because precedent's been set. You can't have it both ways. And we've seen so many goaltender interference penalties, calls in the playoffs where guys barely touched a goaltender and they say, well, he couldn't do his job. And how is that not goaltender interference?
You know, and it's funny because you and I have not done NHL games, but I've done NHL tournaments.
Right.
And there is absolutely no way that that is a goal. I heard the logic come out earlier today. And after I saw that, I said, you know, maybe I missed something. So I've probably watched that play a good 30 or 40 times.
Me too.
And so I have another line of reasoning, which is what I was looking up when you were talking there for a second there. So Charlie Coyle, who's the one that got buried on top of Sweden, yep, is 6'3". He's 225 pounds. So you have someone that size getting thrown on top of Jeremy Swayman, who's also not little. He's 6'2", 194. So you've got all that weight going one way. There is absolutely no logical way that anybody with any modicum of intelligence can think that Swayman could have gotten back across to prevent that goal. That's just, it's insulting to your intelligence to say that.
Right. Exactly. Because he was interfered with.
Get on the media and say, you know what? They blew the call.
Right.
They blew the call because more people will respect you for saying that you made a mistake. And you and I, part of our private conversation, I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to be open season on the netminders tonight in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said it yesterday in our private conversation. I've just said it before and I'll say it again. Look, I was listening yesterday. Tony Dungy with the catch, no catch 8 years ago, with the Calvin Johnson thing. When the NFL did not come out and say we messed up, it left themselves open to interpretation to what a catch was. And you have to complete this process. Unfortunately, now, the NHL, without coming out with a statement saying we're wrong, it's not going to change anything, and it's not going to make anybody feel better. But you needed to be like, we're wrong. That was a penalty. Going forward, that's what's got to be called. Mm-hmm. Instead, well, we're right. We know we're right. We're going to be right because everything else, because we're not going to admit we're wrong. However, now it's open season on defensemen and goaltenders because, like I said before, you cannot take a goal off the board now if a Bruins player does that to a Panther player because of what happened to Game 4. And if they do, shame on them.
Well, not only that, but you're undermining the credibility of not only your playoffs, but the league. I mean, you and I have both been officials, okay?
Right.
As much as we – and I like to think I'm not really good at a lot of other things besides hockey and doing the radio thing. I know this game fairly well, and I will tell you – And it's funny because I've done your games.
Yes.
And I've gone up to players and I've said, look, I blew it. You know, they're going to be pissed, but then they'll, you know, I mean, there is nobody out there unless you get Jesus to put on stripes.
Yeah.
That is going to be perfect all the time.
And no.
I just think it's insulting to hockey fans to not do the right thing. I mean, I have looked at that, as I just said, I looked at that play probably 30 times. And from multiple different angles, I don't see any way you could say that that's not interference.
Interference, cross-checking. He separated the man from the puck without playing the puck, which is the definition of interference. And even the rule book states that you can't do that. But we're going to throw logic or assumption into it because, you know, everything's supposed to be black and white until it isn't. And I understand goaltender interference has gray area. This doesn't have gray area. It was a penalty. And look, Sam Bennett's a heel. We know he likes to play that role. He's the villain. You know, we saw what happened in game 3 with a sucker punch to Brad Marchand in the face. Again, the game happened Friday. I don't know how the National Hockey League did not get that angle that we all saw on TNT on Sunday. Until Sunday night. Makes no sense since they review every play.
Well, makes sense to me. And the reason it makes sense to me is they were trying to figure out how they were going to spin it.
Right.
Because you've got to now. You've got to have some explanation. And it's actually worse trying to come up with some, you know, fallacy as opposed to just saying that they blew it. That happens in sports. It happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. And it some and some guy and sometimes that this the league comes out and say, hey, we messed up. Look, it's not gonna change anything. Do I think that was the reason the Bruins lost the game? No. You can't blame officials when you don't play well. The issue was you're up to nothing and you only have 19 shots on goal. That's a problem. Like, that's a major problem. You didn't generate enough offense. They haven't generated enough offense in this game, in this series. Florida's just taking it to them. They just don't have the depth. Florida has way more depth than the Bruins do. But realistically, the series should be tied at 2-2.
Well, and here's the other thing. Here's the big issue that I have with this. Both of us former officials, again, you make a mistake, okay? Isn't there someone in the league office watching this
Right.
saying, hey, we got it wrong? So you're going to tell me that not only did the officials on the ice got it wrong, but Toronto and New York got it wrong also. That makes it even worse.
Right. Well, I was talking with a couple of ex-NHL officials when it happened. They both said that that should have been no goal. And then I made this proposal to them, and I'm going to bring it to you. I think it's time that all goals in the playoffs are reviewed by Toronto by an official in upstairs at the game or wherever the war room is to have the rule book next to them. No more coaches challenging the playoffs. No more guys looking at tablets. Every goal is reviewed, and if there is an infraction that happens, a penalty can be called on the play.
I mean, it makes total sense to me because that also increases the credibility of your sport. I mean, you want to get it right.
Right.
You want to get it right. That is the most important thing. And if it takes a couple extra seconds, well, the fans are just going to have to deal with that. And you know, like, hey, and listen, from a Florida perspective, good for them for getting away with that.
Right,
Because that's
exactly.
exactly what they did.
Right. Bennett got away with two things. That's exactly what the villain is supposed to do. And they're up 3-1 and they go back to Florida with a chance to close out the series. Does it happen? It's going to be must watch. Game five's must watch TV. We'll see what happens in that series. Moving Canucks, Oilers. We had a suspension. Carson Soucy won game for cross-checking Connor McDavid in the face. Little help from another heel, another villain, Nikita Zadorov. He loves, you know, just cutting promos on the city of Edmonton and saying, hey, the only good thing about Edmonton is they could just watch hockey, not much else to do. But look, the Canucks, I think they're getting a little bit of disrespected. I think we're all disrespecting them a little bit, including myself, because what I saw in the first round, they got away with against Nashville. I'm like, I don't think they're going to get away with that with the high-powered offense of the Edmonton Oilers. The problem is the Edmonton Oilers are going back to what the Edmonton Oilers were last year, hence why they're making a goaltending change in game four as Calvin Pickard enters the net for Stuart Skinner, who's not been good.
Yeah, not been good at all. And to me, this is a must-watch game too because the Oilers have to come out with some response. I know Soucy's suspended, but if I were some of the Canuck forwards, I'd have my head up in this game.
Corey Perry, I'm looking at you, Corey Perry. He's probably going to engage with somebody tonight for what happened.
As he should.
Look, there was a time you and I was much young, I was a kid, baby at the time, but you remember more than me, but I do remember this. When there was a time, certain Oilers captain was not allowed to be touched. If that ever happened, God help you if you were the other person.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, one of the things that's such a great thing about hockey is, and I think true hockey fans and the people that watch this podcast understand that, and I could be wrong about this, and this is one of our favorite sayings, is you don't know what happens in the room. But if I was a betting man, I would imagine that some of the Canucks might have gone up to Soucy and like, you know, yeah, McDavid slashed you, he got you in the pants or on the glove or something like that. But cross-checking the best player in the world in the face, it's coming, whether it's game five or six of this series, but it's coming.
Or it's coming next year.
Yeah, or it's coming next year. And he's got to be prepared for that. There's a code in this game.
There is.
And you just, I mean, it looked pretty bad.
It
You know, I
did.
watched,
I mean,
I.
he got a little look. I don't think he was aiming for his face. There was a little help from Nikita Zadorov in the back. I know everybody's talking about McDavid, you know, taking a guy's finger off. Look, he did slash a guy, but still, Soucy shouldn't be cross-checking him in the face. That's not okay. So Soucy's going to miss one game. But the bigger picture here is the Edmonton Oilers are trying to learn from mistakes that happened a year ago. Look, Stuart Skinner, and the Oilers just can't play anybody that's not named the Los Angeles Kings. But go back to last year. Jack Campbell saved the season for the Edmonton Oilers in game four of round one. He comes in, it was 4-1. Skinner was not playing well. He only saw relief action. He never saw a start. Everybody questioned, why did not Jack Campbell get a start going into game five or game six of the series against Vegas? And he had to come in relief. Now, Calvin Pickard's going to start game four because Stuart Skinner's given up 12 goals in three games, excuse me, and has a sub-900 save percentage in the playoffs, and his goals against average is over 3.5. That's the reason why they're making a goaltending change. He needed to be better. He's not coming up with this easy saves that he needs to. Those pucks are going in the net. Meanwhile, Arthur Sivas is making every save in the book for the Vancouver Canucks, and this kid's like becoming legendary in Vancouver.
Yeah, he has really done wonders for the Vancouver. And again, boy, Edmonton, they really need to get the goaltending situation straightened out, whether it's Skinner, Picard. But, you know, and again, what do you do in either scenario? If Picard has a great game and wins, do you start him again? If he has a bad game, you go back to Skinner. It's kind of a coin flip there is how they respond to this.
Yeah, but the thing is like, I'd rather start the goaltender than have Skinner on a short leash because that shows you don't really have much confidence.
Right.
Meanwhile, you have a guy that's in the city around the team that's making $5 million and is not active.
Yeah, I mean.
Look, the Oilers are becoming what they were last year. They're relying on three guys to drive this team because they're not getting secondary scoring. It's like Toronto. You can't rely on three guys. This isn't basketball. Like, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl are the best duo in the game right now. Hyman's a great player. But where's RNH? Where's Evander Kane? Where are all these additions? Their defense is getting eaten alive. The shots that need to be saved are not going in. And that's why the goaltending continues to be an issue in Edmonton.
Well, again, like you said, the secondary scoring is something that, you know, Evander Kane has always stepped it up in games that matter, and he's been sort of invisible so far, and so they need to get that going and quick.
Right. Speaking of, look, the Dallas Stars are probably the best team in the Western Conference right now. They have so much depth. They hit the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. I mean, look, Wyatt Johnson, two goals. What this kid's doing at the age of 20 is ridiculous. Jake Ottinger, again, talk about it. We'll talk about New Jersey and goaltending. There's reasons why number one goaltenders matter come the playoffs. Jake Ottinger standing on his head.
Yep.
I will say the Avalanche looked shocked. They didn't play like themselves because of the news of Valerie Nichushkin being suspended 6 months in level three of the player assistance program now. And Devontae's was not in the lineup. That shook that team. You could see it. They weren't themselves.
Not at all.
All the best in Nichushkin and the demons that he has to fight. But, I mean, you lose your best one of your best players, a guy who leads your team in goal scoring in the playoffs. I mean, just a terrible loss. But the Stars are showing why they're one of the best teams and one of the favorites to win a Stanley Cup.
Well, again, and look at the reaction for some of the Colorado players. I mean, Jack Johnson came out and said that he made his decisions. And that's really all he said. That says a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, when you're part of a team, that's really a huge piece. And it's funny. I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought the same thing. That team to me looked like they were not prepared to play. And I'm not saying they didn't try hard, but they just looked like they were just totally like blindsided by all this stuff happening.
Yeah. And I think you could say a similar thing when go back to 2004. The Devils, when they made the first round of the playoffs and they didn't have Scott Stevens.
Yeah.
They just didn't look like the team that they were.
Well, they're not. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, New Jersey now or the Devils back then. The Devils were a much easier team to play against without Scott Stevens. And the Devils right now are a totally different team when Jack Hughes is not in the lineup. So, again, you do wish him the best with whatever demons he are. But, again, you know, I'm a big, and I've said this to you many times, you know, I'm a big believer in consequences to actions. And sometimes you have to think about how your actions impact those around you. And I totally want him to get the help he needs and get better. But the fact of the matter is he made bad decisions that hurt not only himself, but also his team. Let me throw this out there. Do you still want him on the team now?
I don't think he can be around the team now. As much as he makes an impact, you have, because he's got to get reinstated by the league now. So this is now a league matter, but I think he probably, I think his days in the National Hockey League are done. That's just my opinion. I think that's just my opinion. Somebody will probably take a flyer on him, but I just have a feeling this today's day and age, what is out there about what happened in Seattle, you almost wonder he might be done.
Yeah, he might be, and you do wish him the best, but boy, unfortunate for Colorado. I think Dallas is going to take care of that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, look, Gorgiev has not played well for them in this series. Look, if Connor Hellebuck was the Connor Hellebuck of regular season, the Winnipeg Jets are in this position, and who knows if they're going to make it a series with Dallas. We don't know. It could be the same thing, but you go back again, we talk about it. Look, Dallas could have folded. This could have been a sweep if they didn't blow a 3-0 lead in game one, right? Colorado come back, win, they almost did it again in game two. So, but you look at it and you say to yourself, okay, something's got to, you just take it one game at a time, but Dallas just looks too good. And I do really believe that this Dallas team could represent the West in the Stanley Cup final. I really do.
Well, going back to the beginning of the season, when you and I were making our picks, I had Edmonton and New Jersey in the final, and I had Edmonton winning the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Now what I, when I had changed my pick a little bit, I had Edmonton and the Rangers.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? There's just so many moving parts to the playoffs, which is why it's so exciting.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we love the Stanley Cup playoffs. And speaking of the Rangers, Carolina, back in it. They've won two straight after being down 3-0. Probably this series again probably should be tied 2-2. Just some bad luck in overtime. But Carolina showed up third period when it mattered. Down 1-0. The much maligned Jacob Trouba made it 1-0. But Carolina's getting to Igor Shesterkin now. They're finding ways to score goals. Rangers defensively, the lapses here, they were able to take advantage of it. Jordan Staal, the Birdman, Evgeny Kuznetsov, what a factor he's been. Getzel as well. You know, these guys are starting to step up and playing desperate hockey. And, you know, you read the sarcasm from Rod Brind'Amour after game three. He's like, look, you know, it's not like we played bad. We haven't played bad. They probably should have won some games. He's right. It's like, oh, we didn't get swept. If you looked at it, what last year, it's like, well, we didn't get swept. We just didn't win. And, you know, we didn't get beat. And he's like, dude, but you got swept. So it was almost like that kind of thing. But this team has rallied and they found ways to do it. And I think the fact that they overcame blowing a 2-goal lead in game four has really helped this team. They're a great third period team. They're not a great second period team. But going back to Raleigh now, look, the pressure is definitely on the Rangers if it isn't already. And if they lose game six, the pressure is really on the Rangers to win, because we know their history of blowing 2-0 series leads. You blow a 3-0 series lead, there's going to be even a lot more question marks.
Well, if I'm the Rangers, and like you said, they have not played well in the last two games. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Ranger fan, who said that they, in his opinion, they've played 5 good periods in the entire series and they're up 3-2. If I'm the Rangers, I do not want this to go to a game 7 because I'm not sure that they'll win it.
No, I don't think they're going to win it either. I think Freddie Anderson looks good. The only saving grace for them, the only saving grace, and it may not matter because we know momentum is game to game, right? The only saving grace is that they have 2 days off, because that slows down Carolina a little bit. Because if the game's Wednesday, I think Carolina is probably forcing a 7th game.
Well, I think Carolina is going to win that game, and I think they're going to win it big. I think that's a 4 or 5 to 1 Carolina win. I don't know what's going to happen in game 7, but you know.
Look out, man. Get the popcorn ready if there is a game 7.
Because Carolina is going to be rocking. for that team. So.
I was at, like, so real quick before we get to our Devil segment, I was down last week. Was able to get down to Florida for game two, Boston and the Panthers. Great atmosphere. Shout out to our buddy Rob Peterson hooking everything up. And then also was in Carolina for game three. That place was loud. That place is rocking. It is loud. It's a nightmare for teams. Trust me. Bruce and I know with the Devils being there, I think they have like two wins all time in Carolina in the playoffs.
No, it's not a good place for an opposing team.
No, it really is. It's loud and it's not good. And I kind of agree. It could be game seven in that series, which would be really, really shocking.
Yeah, again, I think the Rangers and listen to the Rangers, if they're able to put a good game together and play a good road game and win that one, you know, that's going to build their confidence tremendously, because that's going to a very hostile place. You know, all road arenas are hard to play in, but Carolina, I've been there a bunch of times. That's a hard place to play, especially in a big game like that, because
that place gets loud.
The Caniacs are going to be loud.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, the opposing coaches have to walk across the rink during that pregame, and it's loud. It is loud and it's ruthless.
It is.
It is so ruthless. Before we move off the round of NHL stuff, I want to talk about Utah real quick. I said this Sunday when I was on a show with somebody. It's like my parting shot from the Sports Reporters. Great show, by the way. Too bad they don't have that anymore. My one final thought, my parting shot. Utah, Ryan Smith asked the ECHL how much it's going to take to get Utah Grizzlies as your name, because all the team names you've come up with stink. Like, they all stink. Like, I'm trying to be as nice as possible. They all stink.
Yeah, I mean, I just find it so amazing that there are other cities like Quebec, like Houston, some of the other cities that we've talked about that have been trying to get a team forever, and they're moving a team to Utah without a name, without a mascot, and they're going to just, like,
no colors, just Utah on the jersey. It's like, come on.
It's just, you know, and I think I was looking at the list of the 20 names that the team put out, and I think some of them were like the Utah Venom and the Blizzard and the
Yeti, Mammoth, Mountaineers, Outlaws. I'm like, okay.
I just find it's a reminder to me of how very much this is a business.
Yeah, it is.
And how they're able to do this so quick. I mean, again, nothing against the new folks in Utah, but I mean, I think there's a bunch of other cities that should have gotten a team first.
Like I said, my parting shot is go ask the ECHL how much it's going to cost to get the name, because that's your team name. Yeah. Utah Grizzlies is the name. Straight up. That's just my opinion. It's my parting shot here on Around the NHL segment. Moving over. Oh, by the way, before we get to the Devils, go check out BetAlytics, 25% off. Use the promo code FPH24, 25% off monthly, yearly subscriptions. We're hitting everything every night with our gameplays and our betting odds, especially the late game. Always take the Edmonton guys, the triples, the Draisaitl, and Bouchard and Brock Besser. Again, I like tonight, so go check those guys out. All right, New Jersey Devils time. Everybody's favorite segment. Everybody's favorite thing. Bruce has got the look on his face. I love it. We're going to start with the head coaching. We know they've interviewed Craig Berube. They've interviewed Sheldon Keefe now. They've interviewed Jay Woodcroft, Todd McClellan, and the list goes on. If it was Berube, I think it would have been done already. I've been told the wing and the prayer and the Hail Mary of Mike Sullivan coming to the New Jersey Devils is not happening. So everybody can get that off their radar. Berube's interviewed in Toronto. I think him and Tom McClellan are the front runners there, even though Berube interviewed in Winnipeg. I think Winnipeg goes with Scott O'Neill, but maybe they go in a different direction. To me, New Jersey comes down to two guys, and I know you don't like the latter's name. It's going to be Sheldon Keefe or Jay Woodcroft. That's the way I kind of feel. I got this feeling just because of what Tom Fitzgerald said about being a communicator, using analytics, all that kind of stuff. Those two guys fit the bill. Yeah.
It's very simple to me. Very, very simple.
I know. I know where you're going.
Well,
I know where you're going.
here it is. As much as I'm a Devils fan when I'm not an analyst, okay? Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are better players than Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier
Yes, they
and
are.
anybody else on that team. You could not win in Edmonton with those players. Then you get there and you change the defensive scheme that was originally working and it stops working. Why on earth would you hire someone that couldn't do that? I don't understand this. Now, it's interesting that I'm glad we talked about this first because I was talking to someone earlier today who gave me another possibility. Jim, I thought you might find this interesting since we talked about this privately last night too. All right. Now, let me just put this out there because I've started to stay away from the hockey boards because I get
Yeah,
aggravated.
you do.
I will debate any hockey point with anybody if it's based on facts.
Right. Yes, you will.
Okay, I will. I'll have a discussion with anybody. I'm not always right, but I usually have pretty sound, reasons for my arguments.
Absolutely.
And some of the points that people bring up at times, with Woodcroft, for example, it didn't work there. It
No.
just didn't work. Now, going back to the Devils, okay, before the Devils settled, because that is what they did
Absolutely.
for Lindy Ruff,
Both of us have that confirmed
from
that we
multiple sources, multiple NHL sources, okay?
And they didn't pay.
So they interviewed Peter Laviolette and Gerard Gallant.
Yep.
Your sources confirmed that too.
Absolutely, they
The
did.
Devils did not want to pay for those coaches.
That is correct.
So they settled for Lindy Ruff. No offense
Correctamundo.
to him, but that's what they did.
Yes, they
And so the
did.
person I was having the conversation with said to me, maybe the Devils are doing that again. Maybe they're not going to pay for a Berube or a Keith and they're going with another third choice because they don't want to spend the money.
Look, I wrote this on fullpresshockey.com about the options, about what the Devils coaching is, the list of guys that were out there. There was a paragraph I wrote in there. It said the Devils cannot be cheap when it comes to their next head coach. You have to pay players, you have to pay coaches. This is the market we live in. Coaches market is what it is, especially for Berube, who's won a Stanley Cup. Regardless of what you think happened in St. Louis, the message lost, it was one player, and we all know who it was. Okay. He had a goaltender that won him a Stanley Cup. He had the players in place that won a Stanley Cup. He has the right to get paid whatever he wants to get paid. Same with Sheldon Keefe. Sheldon Keefe's on an extension. He could sit out for 2 years if he wants to before he coaches again. He can collect a paycheck from the Toronto Maple Leafs and say, no, I'm just going to get paid. Okay. You cannot settle for your third or fourth option. If you have a guy in mind, go get him and go take, because it shouldn't take this long. Because Buffalo hired a guy. Ottawa got Travis Green, all well and good. And good on Brady Tkachuk and the leadership group there to come out and back Travis Green when he was hired and have good things to say and get respect from him. I'm also going to debunk this one. Brady Tkachuk is not coming to the New Jersey Devils. It's not happening. It will not happen this summer. I don't want to hear it from anybody because it didn't, and because Ottawa has no clue where this is coming from because he's not on the market. And if he is, it's starting with Dawson Mercer, Simone Nemec, a first round pick, and more.
Well, and again, for folks that think, and I'm going to transition to the goaltending
Yeah.
thing also, let me just put this out there, okay? Because you are not going to get whether it's Markstrom, UC Saros, or take your pick,
Omar.
Allmark, you're not going to give up Dawson Mercer in a seventh round pick
No,
to
it's
get
not happening.
Toffoli.
It's definitely not happening.
You are going to be giving up a tremendous amount of assets to get this player.
Yes.
And so, if Tom Fitzgerald is not on the hot seat, he certainly should be, in my opinion, because he missed out on it last year. And now he's got a coach he's got to find. He needs a goalie. You need better defensemen, and you still need a physical presence. And so, I guess he's got some big decisions he has to make, and I'm hoping that the Devils ownership are watching because, in my opinion, what they need to do is you're going to say, They need to identify who they want, and they need to go get them.
Exactly, and they have to pay up. And it's like with the players, when you spend in free agency, that was the issue in Carolina. That's why Dougie Hamilton is with New Jersey. Tom Dunn and the ownership group did not want to pay Dougie Hamilton $9 million. Carolina has a reputation for being cheap with their players. If that's what it is, regardless of what they say in Carolina, regardless of what people are going to say, that's the reputation because everybody knows it's true. And I've confirmed from multiple sources the saying that, like the sources that are telling me that Brady Tkachuk is not getting traded this summer to the New Jersey Devils. It may come down the road if this team does not start winning. Is Tkachuk a guy that New Jersey should look, go after? Absolutely. But they're not trading their captain. Not now.
And even if they were, what you would have to give up to get that would probably not make it worth it.
Right.
This team needs so many things right now that, I mean, I'll throw it out to you. I mean, where do you start? I mean, obviously you got to get a coach.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably going to be Sheldon Keefe regardless. I don't have it confirmed yet, but I think they're probably going to go Sheldon Keefe. Again, I don't know now if Rod Brind'Amour gets released or his contract doesn't get extended by Carolina. I know he wants to stay there. I know he wants his assistants to be taken care of. It's a business. The owner believes that this is what you're worth. This is what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
If Rod Brind'Amour somehow does not get extended and doesn't have a new contract with the Carolina Hurricanes, the first call is going to be Ron Francis in Seattle because Ron Francis is the one that brought him to Carolina. They have a good relationship. They've played together. Is he a good fit for the New Jersey Devils? Absolutely. I think that if they're going to make a coaching announcement, it's going to happen this week. And I think it's going to be either Sheldon Keefe or Jay Woodcroft.
I'm hoping that for my mental sanity that it's Sheldon Keefe, because I just think that if you go that route, I think you're going to start the season with a firestorm.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you go to the goaltender and everybody talks about it, right? You say to yourself, okay, well, you know, as we've talked about, you're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. You're not going to just win a trade. Look, there's goaltenders out there. You cannot bring back the same guys that you brought back. Kapanen and out. No, it is not going to work. You have to get better defensemen. You need a number one goaltender. Number one goaltenders are the reason why teams advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You don't have the Vegas defense that's 6'2", 240 average weight and height. Okay. They do need a physical presence. Pat Maroon would be a great add to go with Curtis McDermott.
I was just going to say that.
But you need a number one goaltender, whether it's Linus Ullmark, whether it's UC Saros, whether it's Jacob Markstrom. Look, Barry Trotz continues to say he's looking to try to extend Saros to have a nice 1-2 punch with Askarov. How much do I believe that? I don't know. There's talk that Saros wants to get traded. He wants out of Nashville too. Again, it all depends. It's a negotiating ploy, right? We know what the package was. Does it change? Again, the Devils need a number one goaltender. There's not a lot of guys out there. Ilya Samsonov's not the answer either. I'm sorry, I hate to say that. You need a true guy that can get it done.
Let me just throw this out there too. Remember, Ilya Samsonov was put on waivers earlier this year. And the Devils could have had him for nothing.
Yep.
Missed on that one also.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
It's you know, I'm looking forward to the next couple of rounds of the playoffs and everything, but it's frustrating because your franchise, the team that you and I root for is I don't know if they're mired or they're spinning their wheels.
So I keep getting asked this question, and I'm gonna put it on air. Buddy Jake from Ontario keeps asking me this, so we're gonna put it out there. When do you think the Devils announced their coaching hire?
When do I think they announced their coaching hire?
Yeah,
I think you're right. If it was Berube, I think they would have made that announcement already. The only reason I could say that maybe they're holding it up, if it's not Sheldon Keefe or
Jay Woodcroft,
you know, is maybe they're waiting to see if they could work something out with Mike Sullivan or maybe Rod Brind'Amour. I don't know. I mean, but I guess they're going to do it soon. I would certainly hope so. And I just hope for the team's sake that it is someone that he can, who has proven he can win. Because I'll tell you what, you could put me behind the bench with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, and I would win some games.
Yeah, I think so too. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Devils do moving forward. You always got to get it locked in. Full Press Hockey Podcast up on YouTube. You know, Full Press NHL on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, check it out. We're getting a lot of followers, a lot of listens. We appreciate everybody subscribing. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button down below. But this has been the Full Press NHL Podcast. I've been your host, Jim Behringer. Bruce Seaman. Bruce, always a pleasure doing with this you, buddy.
Jim, thanks for having me back again, and I look forward to talking more hockey next week, and we'll see who's left in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure doing this with you, buddy. And guys, Full Press Hockey Podcast, get it. iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be back again real soon.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.